turn that off because we don't need any music, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Drive Through HR and the HR podcast. It's internet radio. We have a wonderful guest on today, and it's before Thanksgiving, so we're all really we're in between. We're holding you up. We're in between you and a feast. So we're gonna get right to it. How are you doing? How are you doing, Dominic?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing swell. I'm doing swell. It is bright and sunny here. Your average, typical Dallas Thanksgiving. It's like 75
yeah.
degrees outside.
Exactly.
So we'll rub that in. We'll rub that in everybody above the Mason-Dixon lines. We'll just rub that in their nose. That, you know, it's beautiful weather down here. And then in the summer when it's 115 in the shade, that's when they'll probably come out of the woodwork. So do us a favor. You know the format of the show. We always kind of start off with kind of introductions. Do us a favor. Introduce yourself to the audience. Let people know, folks, your pertinence.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for having me. Happy Thanksgiving to you, everybody. My name is Dominique Rogers, and I am the HR director at Reputation Capital Media. We are a content marketing firm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You may know Mary Ellen Slater. That's my boss. She's the owner of our company. We're a small company, so we've got about 5 employees right now. So we have some different HR issues than a lot of other companies, but then we have some similar things too, some things that seem to be classic to all companies. I've been in HR for about 10, 15 years now, and I'm really excited to be on your show today. Thank you very much for having me.
Cool. Cool. What's top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
Keeping me up at night right now is something we've been calling Tax Debacle 14. And it's so horrible. It is a lesson that I have learned in the importance of vetting all of your vendors very, very carefully. When I first started here, we had an accountant and a little HR outsourcing firm that was doing our payroll, and everything was going great. Then we started having some issues, both of those. And so I had to go through the process of finding us a new accountant, finding us a new HR vendor. And I learned a lot in that process. But the big thing is our HR company that we were using formerly, they did not pay our payroll taxes like they told us they were.
Oh, boy. That's the 940 and 941s, the withholding.
Yeah. And we're only 5 employees, but we're in 3 states and the District of Columbia. We're a remote workforce. And so, last November, I'm sitting around and I get a little notice from the Washington, D.C. government. Hey, you missed this. And, okay, one notice, that's a filing mistake, fine. And I get another one, and then I get something from Arizona. And it just kept happening over and over again. And eventually what I discovered is that, number one, governments take a really, really long time to tell you when a mistake has been made because they're so slow. And I didn't know that because I never messed up payroll taxes this bad before. But they, like, it's months later that they're telling you you have a mistake from June, and now it's December. So that makes it harder to fix. But they're telling us all this. Eventually, it went through all 3 states that we're in and D.C. And problems with each of them. Some were overpaid. Some were underpaid. Some were paid fine. Just paperwork wasn't right. It was just a big boondoggle. And then, just like, I don't know, a Monty Python sketch, you think they can't possibly get any more inappropriate, and here come the feds, because they also didn't do our federal taxes correctly.
Oh, my gosh. Now, do you think it was incompetence? I mean, do you think it was just at the end of the day you're going to chalk this up to? Is it just, and, you know, we're talking about vendors, and this is actually right in my wheelhouse because John and I are doing a study around ideal vendor relationships because we're just curious as to what things should be and what the expectations look like really in reality. Like, so when you're, I'm really fascinated by the conversation, I guess is my point there. What I really want to know is, for now that you reflect back, you've gotten through some of the pain, probably not all of the pain, but you get through it, is it just that they just didn't know what the heck they were doing, or do you think there was something more sinister at play?
No, they had some staffing changes is what happened. Mm. When we started with them, we had a recommendation from a friend, so we didn't look into it too much. They specialized in very small companies like ours, so we thought, great, they know exactly how to deal with us. So we weren't as thorough as we should have been. And for a while, it was fine. We had one contact there. She was an attorney. Everything was going great. And then she left the company. And when she left, the people that came behind her, multiple people touched our account. Or, well, this is what they tell me. This may be complete incompetence and they're lying to me about it. I don't know. But they tell me that in distributing her workload, multiple people were responsible for different aspects of our taxes, different quarters, different states. And just through lots of series of miscommunications, things went wrong. It has been about a year that I've been resolving it. And it's not quite finished. I'd say we're about 95% finished. There's a few more little I's to dot and T's to cross, but we're getting there. And in the meantime, I went through the process of finding a new HR vendor. And that was really something because I was so determined to be very thorough about this that I interviewed national companies, a few local companies. We ended up going with a firm here in Baton Rouge called HR Solutions. And they're great. They have helped me not only with our payroll and everything that I needed them to do just as our HR firm. They've been helping me clean up the mess from the other people. So they've gone really
nice.
Above and beyond. Yeah.
Well, and you can't find it. It's like the ground underneath you is kind of unsettled because when you don't have, like you think it's certain, and then all of a sudden there's some cracks in it, you start to not trust it, and all of a sudden in the big reveal you find out it's a mess, and you go through the recommendation and recovery process.
And they're sending me forms. They're like, hey, we did this, here's a form. And I'm thinking, great. Then it's 6 months later, there I get the notice from the IRS, and I'm thinking, you know, we're a startup. I work on a project, I put it to bed, I move on. I'm lucky to tell you what I had for breakfast this morning. You want to know what I did with something 6 months ago? Are you kidding? I have no idea.
Can you see a light at the end of the tunnel? Can you see a light at the end of this mess?
I absolutely can, and it's like I said, it's been a lesson. It's been inconvenient, but it's taught me a lot about what I'm going to go through in my next processes when I vet vendors for us. Even the CPA, this was awesome. The little accountant that we had at first. We had a little problem there, too, so we got a new firm. When I was interviewing some of them, I had one in their office in Baton Rouge, and I wanted to pull up something on my laptop and show them and say, like, hey, look at this. It's like, so what's your Wi-Fi? And they told me, we don't believe in Wi-Fi.
I gotta go now. Okay. I think I hear my mom calling me. Gotta know. It's been real. Good.
Pleasure.
Gotta
talking
go.
To you.
You don't like the Wi-Fi.
I mean,
okay.
You don't believe in it. Like it's a whole conspiracy. It was so cute. I just was like, oh my God, I have to leave here right now.
No.
We're in three states in D.C., and Mary Ellen and Brooklyn, they live on a plane. I feel like we should be giving Christmas bonuses to Go-Go Air, and you're telling me you don't believe in Wi-Fi. So technology is something that I'm going to ask about for all of my vendors in the future. We're a cloud-based business. I need you to be on board with that.
You know, seriously, what's really interesting is it's forged out of bad experiences. You learn how to really relate to and be a good partner and collaborator with new vendors.
Okay.
But it's not like you can read it in a book, right? It's not like, oh, okay, I went to the HR class and now I know how to interact with vendors of software and services forms.
Exactly.
You almost have to, it's like dating. Yeah, terrible metaphor, but you know, you have to learn through a bunch of bad experiences, right?
Yeah, this has been so inconvenient, but it really has taught me quite a bit. I'm a grown up HR lady now, and I don't take any crap.
No, you're gonna be ready. You're ready for the next for the next person that calls on you and says, "Hey, this is Tom with so and so." It's like, you know, Tom, I got a quick question for you. You're going to take them to the gauntlet, the new gauntlet of, you know, I've got some just some quick questions. Where are we at on these things? And you know, this is really just to kind of get you to the next round. So what's, if you were to forecast out, look at 15, I know that y'all are, you know, planning and growth mode and all that other stuff. What's the next thing that you need? If you've got payroll taken care of, and let's just say that's sorted, what's the next thing technology-wise or even services layer-wise? Like, what's the next thing around the bend for you?
Right now, our big thing is collaboration tools. We really like Basecamp for our project management. It allows us to really stay on top of our to-do list and other people's to-do list, make sure they're doing what they're supposed to. But I keep hearing all these APIs and hacks and things that you can do to make that even better. And we're so collaborative here. Nothing goes out the door here without, you know, somebody writing it, Brooke editing it, Mary Ellen overseeing it, me billing for it, Lee, you know, supervising, somebody else getting an image to go with something. Everything goes out the door with multiple hands on it. So we're always interested in getting things that will streamline that process, allow us to communicate better. One of the things that aggravates me about Basecamp, and maybe you have a solution for this, is that you can give someone a deadline, but it's just the day, not the time.
Yeah, no.
So I can tell you I need this done by November 26th, but you might turn it into closed business, and I needed it at noon. And there's nothing to that. I don't know what to do.
No, and the struggle that I had on the services forum or on the services side was always tracking time, was getting an idea of estimating, you know, which gets a little bit out of HR, but it's still kind of, it always comes back to HR. It's how do you estimate a project, how do you complete the project, and then how do you do costing around who worked on what so that you get an idea of what's profitable. So you sell something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, I think it was profitable. At the end of the day, we made more money than we spent, so somewhere was profit. And that comes back to things like Basecamp, but it's how do you track time? And y'all, this might not be something that you really want to contend with until you get to about 20 employees, and that's when the real madness begins. But it's how do you capture time in a business that's all you have is time. How do you capture it?
We do that. That's what we sell. You know, we don't have any tangible products. We're selling our expertise and time, so we do have to be careful how we build that out. Right now, since about April, we've been tracking that just in some basic spreadsheets, and we're about to have a fun Christmas break where we transition our accounting things over to QuickBooks and do a lot of stuff with all this data that we've gathered. To get us into a place where we're doing better managing time and forecasting out projects and things. We've got not quite a year, but plenty enough data to tell you now how long it takes to build a website or a blog post or whatever. And so that's what we're doing. So we're kind of buttholes about it. We do some time tracking. But it's not to supervise the employees to make sure everybody's getting their 40 hours. I could really care less if everybody's getting their 40 hours. I just want to know how long it takes to do a project so we can bill for it properly.
Right. Well, and what you have with creative people, and this goes to the writers and the designers and even the technologists on some level, is it's always an it depends. It depends on when you need it by. It depends on, you know, so many different factors that you'll get people that, even seasoned people, that say, well, it could take 2 hours or it could take 2 days. And it's like, well, that that doesn't really help me, John. I'm gonna need you to be a little bit more specific, if you don't mind. Let me ask a question about continuing education and how you kind of stay abreast of, you know, the things that you need to. And so I know that you obviously care about schooling and some of the formal type stuff, but like, where do you go to do your own kind of, you know, personal development, keeping yourself in the know, stuff like that? Like, what do you do?
Well, for myself, and this is actually one of the best perks of my job, a lot of the assignments that I get are around the HR field. So I have to write blog posts about HR. So I do quite a bit of research on the web, obviously. I keep a very detailed Feedly for lots of bloggers, Robin, Laurie, you guys, everybody. When they put out things, I read about that stuff constantly. I took a very intense 3-day SHRM SCHR prep class this October. I'm getting ready to take my exam in January, so you can send prayers for me. I do the SHRM stuff and I look through all that. I get the magazines and I read that sort of stuff, but I don't want that to be my only source of knowledge in this field. I want to be a little more open to other ideas. So I just really like following people in this arena. This is how this all started. When I got laid off from another job a few years ago, I just went on Twitter. I completely BS'd my way into a blog. Said, hey, I want to learn more about HR. I started following a billion people on Twitter. People started talking to me, and now here I am talking to you.
it's full circle. That's what happens.
It's so true. You start following people on Twitter. Like, that's, Laurie did a blog post about this this week.
Twitter really is
the unsung area to learn about HR. You just have to be rude and inject yourself into conversations that you're not in, really, and kick the door down.
Well, I think people think there are rules. I think that's the funny thing about Twitter that I've kind of witnessed in my time playing around with the application, is I tend to go into social as someone that's just kind of curious as to what's there and kind of how can I play with it and stuff like that. And then I try to never lose that. So even with Instagram and some of the other mediums, I just tinker. And like, oh, let's try that. Ooh, that was a failure. Yeah, that was a bad idea. That was terrible. I shouldn't do that ever again. And just do that. And I think a lot of people, the kind of the wall that's up before them and Twitter is that they probably see some value, or they've heard that there's value there or whatever, but they think that there's like a rule book or get in and do it this way. And it's like, I might be wrong, and someone will tell me if I'm wrong, I'm sure, but I don't think there is a rule book. I just think you get in and you just kind of, you know, excuse my French, but I think you just kind of fuck your way through it. You just try and you know, you make mistakes and forgive yourself for whatever mistakes you make.
And what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You ask somebody a question and they don't write you back. They tell you to fuck off. They don't want to talk to you. Fine. You're going to live.
That's not the end of the world. I think people are surprised when I respond to them, because I have a lot of things that are automated and whatnot. But when people say, hey, William, that was really great, that thing, this, that, the other, and then I respond like immediately, I think they're shocked. Like, generally, I think they are. Whoa,
too. You have a billion followers.
Wait a minute. What's going on? This is a real guy doing a real bit. So I love Twitter. What are some of the other things that you like right now? Like, you're passing your fancy Facebook, obviously, the LinkedIn's. Are you an Instagram person? Do you like the Instagrams?
I am an Instagram person. I'm less of a poster. I do post things on Instagram, but I'm less of a poster and more of a looker at everybody else's stuff.
A stalker. You're in the stalker worker category.
Voyeuristic, whatever. Everybody has such cute babies and dogs, and they're all over Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't learn a lot about HR on Instagram, and everybody.
No, I can't say that I do either. I don't. It's a visual. For me, it's a visual odyssey. I get lost in art. I get lost in all kinds of crazy stuff. But it's not. I wouldn't say I probably go there as a distraction or recharge. A lot of creative people that I've worked with in my life, they use outlets. Like when they fall into a hole, they're like, oh, let me go to this one website and it'll take my mind away from the hole and then I can come back to it. And I never really kind of fully understood that, I guess. But I think Instagram's that way for me. Like when I find myself at a point where I'm like, oh, I can't write that, I need to think about this, I'll get on Instagram. I'll pick up my phone, I'll get on Instagram, and I'll go wandering around somewhere like Don Quixote and then go, oh, yeah, I got to get back to work now. And I'm recentered.
But you know what? That helps me. Like for example, I have this life insurance article that I've been putting off for about 10 days now, and it's due next week, and I really just want to get it off my back before Thanksgiving. You know, I need the pressure of a deadline, kind of. The more I can mess around on Instagram, the more I can, you know, have that. But also, I've had people tell me they don't see the cool thing about Instagram. They, you know, whatever, babies and dogs. But there's artists on there that are putting their work out there. So you look for professional artists or photographers that are just doing really cool stuff. It's not all your friends laying babies and dogs that are also on Facebook that you've already seen. You know, there are people in other countries, people that are traveling the world and taking pictures of these beautiful things that you wouldn't have the chance to see.
I totally agree.
It's a great 10-minute distraction that you come back to work and, okay, I have a new viewpoint now.
Yeah.
So I like that. And I like Facebook and Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm kind of meh about LinkedIn. I don't understand anything else.
Yeah, with LinkedIn now, with all the content sharing, it's an interesting medium. I don't think there's the interaction. Like, that's the cool thing. You and I have been friends on Facebook for a long time. You get interaction. Like, you know, you jab Dwayne, Dwayne jabs Matt, Matt jabs the, you know, like, you get that back and forth, and there's kind of a camaraderie, and you can have fun, and it can be sarcastic and witty and all the other stuff. Whereas LinkedIn, it's more, it just seems drier. And I don't know if that's professionally done, like they've thought about that and they want it to be drier or not, but there's
that's
less
so
of the interaction.
Dull.
Yeah.
And it's so,
they try
so hard to be relevant, and it's just not. I have this one guy that I swear to God is a boat captain who keeps giving me recommendations for, like, I'm awesome at benefits administration, according to this boat captain. What? I don't know you. I'm sorry that I'm not going to write back and give you a recommendation for being a boat captain, because for all I know,
you never know when you need a boat captain. Here's the deal.
You live
close to the swamp. You never know. I'm just putting it out there. You never know.
I may
you're
need a shotgun wedding in international waters one day. You never know.
Hey, stranger things have happened, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Do you have a mentor? Do you believe in mentors?
Yeah,
I should start with the, not the assumptive, right? Do you believe in the construct mentorship? If so, do you have one?
I do. I have a couple, actually, of people that I consider mentors, some one formal and some not.
Tell us.
I've been really, really lucky. There's a company in Baton Rouge called Success Labs. I think you guys had Devin Lemoyne on your show last month. She's amazing, and a lady that works with her, her name is Gloria. She was my boss at a former job, and I learned so much from her that I brought with me to Reputation Capital, and just modeling her behavior, how she would approach decisions. The same thing with Mary Ellen. I really have learned a lot from those two. Formally, Robin Schooling is my mentor. Mm-hmm. She and I meet pretty regularly, and she helps me with various things, navigating my way through the HR industry. And sort of also informally, Laurie Rudiman is like my big sister, and I love her to death. I call her or text her every now and then when I need some spur of the moment advice, and she's always been there. She's amazing.
What do we not know? And I'm a guy now at this point. What do we not know about women in HR? Like, what's shed some light, if you don't mind, into that dark corner that is women in HR. What do we not know? What should we know about the stronger women of HR? You just named a bunch of people, and all, one of the commonalities I kind of picked up through that is all of them have very strong personalities, very intelligent people, very seasoned and all that other stuff. But what do guys, I don't mind kind of admitting failure. What do we not know about women in HR?
You know what? I was having a conversation this morning with Christine, our boss, about HR ladies, and she was talking about some people that she knows who can't ever admit that they're wrong. And she said she doesn't understand how people can't ever admit they're wrong. Why don't they just own their mistakes? And I'm guilty of that sometimes. I get defensive a little bit. And I said that I think it's because people start out wanting to please. And I think this is true of ladies. This is true of some HR ladies, especially when they're starting out. They really just want to please people. They want to do a good job. They want to prove their worth. And then they grow out of that. And I'm getting to that point. That's what my mentors have shown me. Eventually, you just got to grow out of that and do your thing and trust yourself, feel your own confidence, and stop trying to make everybody else happy all the time, because that's not my job, to make everybody else happy. My job is to keep the business going as efficiently as I can. So I think depending on where they are in their career, ladies in HR may be in a position where they are just getting their feet under them and just want to do a good job, but they'll grow out of it and get their confidence and become some real badasses.
That's interesting. I have a kind of a
similar... It helps if they have other badasses to follow.
Well, if you surround yourself with badasses, it's assumptive, you're a badass if you surround yourself with badasses. I have a litmus test for people that I can work with, and it's a similar or right around the same area. It's those that can't admit that they're wrong, those that can't say that you're right, which is different, and those that can't say that that's a good idea. So I've seen this more with guys, that they have the inability like it's taken from them out of their brain that they can't say those things like this. I'm wrong. My bad. I tried. Looked like it was a good idea. Whew.
Yeah.
Terrible. My bad. I own that. I'm going to own that for a while. I was wrong. They can't say that. And worse than that, I think, is the failure of just saying, you know what? You're right. That is a really good idea. You're right. The validation of that. And then the last one is that's a good idea. There's something about the recognition of where ideas come from that I've seen it mostly in men, that they just can't admit that you have a good idea. The idea has to germinate from wherever they are. And that's failure for me, because it creates an area where I can't exist. If they've got to be the epicenter of all great ideas, then I can't be there.
And that's horrible. Because that's almost, to me, that's about the greatest thing you can say to a person. I would much rather you tell me, oh, that was a great idea, than, hey, Dominic, you look great today, or, whatever, your ass is rocking in those pants. I would much rather you tell me that I did something smart, or had a good idea, or was creative about something. Some people love to hear that.
Yeah, it turns out I think that's humanity. I think if I were to do a study, I think we would learn that that's everybody. That goes across gender and age and race and all the other stuff. All right, so we got to close out here. We got about a minute. Contact details. How do people follow you?
I am at HR Gal Friday on Twitter. I am HR Gal Friday on Instagram also. I don't know that I'm searchable on Facebook, but you can find me at repcapitalmedia.com on our website there. You can send me an email, and if I like you, maybe I'll find you on Facebook, too.
Yeah, there's that. So if you
want some information about the company, it's a really great website, actually. It says on our website that I'm a vampire slayer. I'm not kidding. Repcapitalmedia.com. It's got all the details about what we do there.
Who's going to say that they're wrong? And Mary Ellen was 40 under 40 last night, yeah?
She was.
That's awesome.
She's so great.
That's
she got a, she got a big recognition for that, and we've got a big gala coming up next week. We're all very excited and proud of her.
And that's awesome. Congratulations to her, and really congratulations to you all, to the firm as well. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. See, 30 minutes just evaporated. It went that fast.
Yeah,
like 7
it did.
Minutes.
We're
Everyone
closer to the
wonderful...
mashed potatoes now.
Right. Everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for letting us invade your ear hole. And we're going to roll out to a little Cure. Thanks, Dominic.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.